This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Jeff Chittister joins me live in studio. He's with the Miller Center of Public Affairs, where he is chair of the National Discussion and Debate Series. He studied at Grove City College in Pennsylvania, got his master's degree from international history from the London School of Economics, and an additional master's degree in politics from the University of Virginia. He's the co-author of The Reagan Years and At Reagan's Side. He's also published articles on the American presidency and U.S. foreign policy. Thank you for being here, Jeff. It's good to see you again.
Good to see you again.
So we want to hear some clips from some of these leading scholars about the American presidency that you all brought to Charlottesville recently in a big conference. And we want to sort of recap and debrief our listeners on this conference and what was learned and what was talked about. But before we do that, when we think of the Miller Center, one of the things we really think of is the history of the American presidency. And the Miller Center really has become that institution in America that people think of when they think of the history of the American presidency. Tell me why that is. I mean, what is it that the Miller Center is doing or has done to get that brand? Because it really is a treasure for us in our community to have that going on right here in our neighborhood.
Well, thank you. And that is something that we are aiming to achieve. And I think that our presidential research and scholarship is something that has allowed us to achieve sort of separation, differentiation within our own industry and peer organizations. And I think that what really sets us apart is that we do presidential history uniquely and substantially. We have, I've talked about some of these programs in the past year. We do the Presidential Oral History Program. We do the Presidential Recordings Program. We have one of the top websites on the American presidency, AmericanPresident.org. And we have various scholars in-house and non-resident who conduct original research on the presidency. And some are some of the biggest presidential scholars in the country. So I think by virtue of these factors, we have been able to sort of differentiate ourselves in the market.
Yeah. And that oral history of the American presidency, for folks who don't know what that is, that's incredibly significant. I mean, this is something that scholars and folks will be studying and listening to for hundreds of years.
Yeah, I mean, in a nutshell, what happened after Watergate was that people just stopped keeping notes. They stopped keeping records because they started to become subpoenaed. And it had this chilling effect on the amount of presidential history that was out there. So in 1980, the Miller Center, led by a handful of top presidential scholars, decided to come together and form this Presidential Oral History Program. And the first first project that they conducted was on Jimmy Carter. Over the course of the next 5 years, they interviewed about 50 people from the Carter administration, including President Carter, Vice President Mondale, and other leading officials. And in the end, what you had was a very comprehensive debriefing and critical supplement to the written record, which was deteriorating. And then we took a little bit of a lull, and then late in the 1990s, we began the George H.W. Bush, Ronald Reagan, and Bill Clinton projects all at once. The Reagan project was released in 2005, and we are still hoping to release the other two very soon. We're actually about to start the George W. Bush project. So this is a significant resource. I mean, the Reagan project alone was about 45 interviews and over 3,000 pages of transcripts. To place it into context, the Clinton project is going to be about 150 interviews. So this is going to be very significant for scholars, you know, in the next few years, but especially 25, 50, 100 years down the road.
Yeah.
I mean,
wouldn't
it be nice to have talked to, say, Abraham Lincoln's personal secretary for a day and a half?
Yeah.
Which is typically what we get for our oral history interview.
Tell us what was going on behind the scenes during the Civil War. You know, what did Lincoln look like in the Oval Office?
Exactly.
And what was going, who was coming and going and what was happening?
Yeah. And I think by virtue of these presidential projects, that's one of the key reasons why we were able to assemble this Presidential Sites and Libraries conference a few weeks ago.
We're talking with Jeff Chittister of the Miller Center of Public Affairs. The conference you mentioned now, which took place in Charlottesville just a few weeks ago, tell us about it. What was it? Because you were the primary organizer of this.
Well, for the Miller Center's end, I certainly helped with the management of it. What happens is every 4 years, there's a critical mass of people who are involved in the preservation and restoration and scholarship on the American presidency at what are known as official presidential sites and libraries. And that's everything from the Clinton Library to the Polk Birthplace and everything in between. well over 100 sites and libraries. And they get together every 4 years, and they have a conference. And they have a, they build it around a theme, and they are able to discuss, you know, best practices, new methods, things going on within that presidential community. 4 years ago, it was in Hyde Park, FDR's home up in New York. And a couple of years ago, our director, Governor Bilalas, was able to begin discussions with some of the folks who are leading organizations in putting this together every 4 years, specifically the National Archives and the American Association for State and Local History out in Nashville. And they decided to have it for the first time ever in a non-official presidential site or library here at the university. So it was a great gathering. It was a four-day gathering. Events took place in Newcomb Hall, the Rotunda, Monticello, Montpelier, and then of course at the Miller Center as well. So it was a great gathering. I think that we were able to accomplish a lot for the people who attended.
So scholars, anybody doing research, the very top people in America who study the American presidency were here in Charlottesville.
Well, it's people. There were certainly some of those as keynotes, and some of those who just attended as free agents, for lack of a better term. But yeah, it was people who are employed at presidential sites and libraries.
Yeah.
So, you know,
who make their living dealing with this whole idea of the American presidency.
A director of a site, a curator,
yeah,
an education outreach director, someone like that. Those are the types of people. And we had about 200 in all gather. And it was a mixture of keynote addresses, some plenary sessions, some breakout sessions that targeted specific areas that might be of interest to, say, curators.
We're talking with Jeff Chittister of the Miller Center of Public Affairs, where he is chair of the National Discussion and Debate Series, and helped to organize a recent conference here in Charlottesville exploring the history of the American presidency. Jeff Chittister of the University of Virginia's Miller Center of Public Affairs, which hosted a conference recently right here in Charlottesville, the Presidential Sites and Libraries Conference, which takes place every 4 years. Tell me about some of the keynote speakers who came to Charlottesville. Who were these folks?
We had four keynotes throughout the 4 days, and this really was a home run. We got four of probably the best presidential scholars in the country to come here and talk. We had Joe Ellis start the opening night. Ellis is the one that wrote Founding Brothers, which is a Pulitzer Prize-winning book on the Revolutionary Generation. And then he also, a lot of people around here might know that he wrote American Sphinx, which was a very successful biography of Thomas Jefferson back in the 90s, won the National Book Award. He was terrific. We had John Meacham, who's the editor of Newsweek, wrote another Pulitzer Prize-winning book recently. Actually, last year's Pulitzer in biography on this was on American Line. So Andrew Jackson,
yeah,
and he's terrific too. We had Michael Beschloss, who I think we're going to hear a little bit from, who is the NBC presidential historian. He's written a couple of bestsellers on presidential history. He's also a member of our governing council, so we like Mike a lot.
Could that lineup get any better?
Well,
and then we
closed the week in Monticello, and we had Annette Gordon-Reed, who wrote The Hemings is Monticello.
Another Pulitzer winner, yeah.
You know, if we didn't have enough. So I think the people there were pretty happy. I think we hit a grand slam on that one.
Let's hear some clips from some of these speakers who were at this conference. And we begin with Mike Nelson. Who's Mike Nelson?
Okay, well, so the opening plenary session of the conference was given to the Miller Center's oral history program, which was quite an honor. It's the first gathering of all the attendees on the first morning of the conference. And what they did is they conducted a panel session around what the oral history program does, so their methodology, the history, the relationships with presidential libraries, and so forth. And Mike is a non-resident scholar. He's a very successful political scientist at Rhodes College. Thankfully, he's here for the summer. And Mike Nelson was one of the four panelists.
Let's hear from Mike Nelson at the recent conference hosted by the Miller Center of Public Affairs.
There's a vividness and a vigor and an energy to oral history interviews that is simply appealing. It's tedious, to be honest, to go through boxes of documents. It's never tedious. It's always interesting. It's always engaging to read through the transcripts or listen to the recordings of oral history interviews. It's fun. And people think of things when they're talking, especially if being interviewed by a skillful interviewer. They think of things that they wouldn't have thought of otherwise. They put pieces together that as documents perhaps remain only as separate pieces. And so you see how this memo and that letter and that speech in the written record suddenly cohere because you've got somebody translating their experience into stories, and that the power of storytelling in oral history is so much of its appeal and also so much of its value.
This is Professor Mike Nelson of Rhodes College, a non-resident senior fellow at the Miller Center of Public Affairs. I could certainly vouch for that. When I was doing my history of UVA in the corner, you'd read something in the student newspaper from like the 40s, and then you'd go sit down with a graduate of the university who was there at this event and just gives it a life that isn't there in the newspaper.
Well, you know? Mike's exactly right. And one of the many lucky things that have happened to me throughout my career has been being able to participate in 30 or 40 of these oral history interviews when I was working within the program. And he's right. They just come to life. These people are very excited oftentimes to talk about their service, with a little bit of space. You know, it gets kind of chaotic in Washington, so it's nice for them to sort of reflect a few years later. But you know, one of the things that we do with oral history is we try and act like the student, and we let the interviewee be the teacher, and we just sort of, we don't ask them pointed questions. We prod them along. We try and direct them. And he's right. They come to life. They like to talk about, so many things that never occurred to them, until they were prompted in such a way. So you see them really, getting animated. And I'll tell you, Harold Eckes, who's, was a senior official in the Clinton administration, deputy chief of staff. He said one time that if you really want to get a sense of how things worked and how decisions are made, you have to talk to people. And he said the people are such a powerful, powerful force in politics. And he's right. I think that's been borne out by the interviews that we've said, and Mike Nelson here backs that up.
We're talking with Jeff Chittister of the Miller Center of Public Affairs. Let's jump ahead to Russell Riley, who is chair of the Presidential Oral History Program at the Miller Center, where he talks about how you actually do this, how they're conducted.
We've done roughly 50 interviews on each of Presidents Carter, Reagan, and Bush 41. We've done something on the order of 130 interviews with President Clinton, and are just beginning next month the work on President George W. Bush. These interviews are roughly 8 to 10 hours in length, most of them. There are a few of them that are done shorter. I got an emergency call about 2 weeks ago from Tony Blair's office indicating that he was going to be in New York on business and inviting a colleague and myself to go up to New York to spend 45 minutes with the former British Prime Minister. We did that. We took the invitation because we were sure that that's all the time that we could get, and something is better than nothing in the business of doing presidential oral history.
You go when they say you could. You got the time, and you just go do it, knock it out.
Just run.
Michael Beschloss, the nation's leading presidential historian, very well known, lots of bestsellers. He was also at this conference in Charlottesville just a few weeks ago. Mm-hmm. What did he? He was one big talk. Or did he speak?
No, he gave one of the keynote addresses. I think he gave the final keynote address of the actual business sessions of the conference. So this was on grounds at Newcomb Hall. And, you know, Mike just knows a ton about presidential history. He's one of the best. So he was regaling everyone with a lot of stories, particularly about LBJ, which he has done a lot of research on. And LBJ is always fun to hear about.
LBJ was once talking to a famous economist. I have to clean this up slightly, but only slightly, as one does with many of President Johnson's private conversations, and don't I know it. Johnson said to the economist, who was brilliant but not necessarily compelling, he said, "You know, Professor, problem is when you talk about economics, it's like peeing down your leg. Seems hot to you, but not to anybody else." And, sometimes when I'm trying to tell my kids about presidential sites, I sort of figure that that's their attitude.
That's good stuff. Michael Beschloss, speaking at the conference recently held in Charlottesville, and he also spoke about how he got interested in studying the presidency.
So my parents took me down to Springfield and took me to the Lincoln House, 8th and Jackson Streets in Springfield. And the thing I mainly remember is I was taken into the parlor, I and my little brother, who's 2 years younger, and the guide said, "Here's the chair in which President Lincoln read to his children. And I wish I could report to you that I asked him about Lincoln's views on civil liberties or something like that. But in fact, what I said was something a little bit more interesting to me at the time. Sir, when Lincoln's boys were naughty, did he spank them?" And as I remember, the guide said with a disgusted look, "No, Lincoln didn't believe in discipline. He let those brats run wild through this house." And I heard that, and as soon as I heard that, Lincoln was the man for me. I began reading everything I could find on Lincoln, and there was a lot, and then began to read about other presidents, and so my children would roll their eyes at this too, but I wanted to write books about presidents since I was 10 years old. And
Michael Beschloss speaking at a recent conference at the University of Virginia, hosted by the Miller Center of Public Affairs. And this is the kind of thing you all do normally, big conferences like this and the National Debate Series. Can you tell us really quick where we are with the National Debate Series? Does it start up again in the fall?
We just wrapped up season 3. We're working on how to continue on in season 4 and what topics we want to pursue and you know, everything related to putting together a season of debates, which is quite a bit. But we're having a good time doing it, and we're hoping to ramp it up as soon as we can.
Jeff Chittister, he's with the Miller Center of Public Affairs. You can enjoy their fantastic website. Lots of good stuff there at millercenter.org. Jeff, thank you very much.
Thank you, Coy.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SeavillePodcast.com for more.